Hi, everyone. Welcome to our event. This event is brought to you by Datadogs Club, which is a community of people who love data. We have weekly events, and today's one of such events. If you want to find out more about the events we have, there is a link in the description to this video. So click this link, and you'll see all the events we have in our pipeline. Then do not forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. This way, you will stay up to date with all our future streams. So you will get notifications about them. And last but not least, we have an amazing Slack community where you can hang out with other data enthusiasts. And speaking of communities, so this is actually what we will talk today. So this is a topic that is very close to my heart. So this week, we'll talk about community building. And we have a special guest today, Irum. Irum is a lead machine learning engineer and PhD researcher at Justus Liebig University. Did I pronounce it correctly?
Yeah.
So Irum specializes in AI for education. She instructs at Women in AI Academy and leads Ontena Academy. Previously, she taught deep learning internationally and organized data science bootcamps and many more things. You will probably tell us about them. So thanks for joining us. Thanks for being here. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to share whatever I've been doing.
Mm-hmm. So the questions for today's interview are prepared, as always, by Johanna Bayer. Thanks, Johanna, for your help. And let's start. So before we go into our main topic of today, which is community building, let's start with your background. Can you tell us about your career journey so far?
Yeah, so I am Miriam. I am from Pakistan. Currently, I am based in Germany. As Alex just shared, I'm doing my PhD over here. How I started. So I basically belong to not so much developed area of Pakistan, but where even women or females are not allowed to get education. But I am the lucky one. I got education, then I moved to city, and then I started working with community. And in that manner, I also been a lucky one that instead of joining and learning by joining some lessons or lectures, so I started delivering workshops and courses, which I used to learn. And then I have many networks. And interestingly, through those networks, I got my research position in University of Gießen, that is Justus Liebig University in Gießen. One of the community I was referred as, do you remember in one of the projects in Germany? I was during the project and this university applied. The project was selected and then I was mentoring that project. And then I offered them, it is really a good project. Why should not start and offer a PhD position on that? And they gladly accepted that. And then they offered me, why don't you send anyone on that position? And I thought, why not? I should join. So that's how I'm here today.
Which city are you based in?
I am in Gießen. It's nearby Frankfurt.
Aha, okay. So the big Frankfurt, right? Frankfurt am I?
Yeah.
I have never been to that Frankfurt. So
you
I should
visit sometime.
Yeah. So you work at Ontena. What's your title there?
Currently, I am head of Ontena Academy, but I started as lead machine learning engineer. And then we started delivering courses. And then we started with Ontena School, which we just changed as Ontena Academy.
Mm-hmm.
So currently I'm head of Ontena Academy.
And it's amazing. Like, I'm sorry to hear that in the area where you grew up, women cannot get education. And it's a very lucky situation that you managed to do this. Hopefully this situation changes. Luckily we speak here because you got the education, you went through all the things you said. And yeah, I'm really interested to learn more about Ontena, what Ontena is doing in general, and what you specifically do there.
So Ontena is also a global community. It started back in 2019, and I am one of the collaborators. So we call every participant as a collaborator. So it works like you have a real-world challenge, and collaborator around the world solve that problem with the help of AI. So we started building a mental assistive application in 2019. Then finding anomaly on the surface of Mars and figuring out if life is possible or not, something like that. But the major learning is you are not who is working from one country or from one educational, social background. Like there are a group of people, 50, 60 people from different background, age, qualification, and you learn together. So initially it comes up to you like this is the project and you have to solve like the bottom up problem, solution of the problem. So that is how Omdina started, and it was really great learning platform. Firstly, you learn by doing, and that is the real world data set, which is very rare in AI projects. And the second thing is you have a people from diverse background and you network them. You learn how they are dealing with the situation and they support you. Like you want to do something, they refer you resources, they help you out. So this is how Omdina works. What I do there, so eventually we started from this like very first project. I was working as a collaborator. Then I joined Omdina on and off. Like we started building like graphic. I had a bit of experience in graphics, so I started building certificates. Then we thought we should have like, because AI and data science courses are very expensive and out of reach of underdeveloping communities. So why not to build courses from these projects, which we are doing with real world. And that could be like a capacity building for the collaborator. For example, if I want to be a teacher, I can teach to these people free of cost. It will be helping them in learning and it will be helping them to be a good instructor. So we started this program, like the people from that project can deliver the course, and anyone without any, you know, geographical boundaries or financial boundaries, they can join the course. And at Omdina, we were providing them like the platform for instructor and student. And once they do the project, then they can do the course, they can be part of Omdina projects, because with the passage of time, competency level is increasing. Like there are 1,000 applications and we need only 60 people for one project and everyone want to join. So this was also helping us out. Like we are training the people, they already know the process and they can join Omdina itself as a collaborator for projects.
So was it more driven by necessity that you saw that then when people join projects by Omdina, you saw that more often than not, some of the participants, the collaborators, lacked some skills? So they thought, how about we create a course? So they go through the course, and when they join the course, they already have to know the basics. Or it was more the demand from the students or collaborators who said, okay, like, we want to take part, but we're struggling with these areas, so we want to have a course about this before we continue, or maybe both.
So basically, it's not like 100% aligned with the requirement. It no doubt addresses those like the skill set which is required for the projects as well. But we deliver the course after completion of project. So it is not directly linked with the project itself. So it is just like we have done one project at Omdina and we want to teach how Omdina works so people would able to learn in that way. So it is for them learning, and then they have an idea how to do projects in Omdina. So it somehow linked with the upcoming project, but not 100%. Whatever they have learned, they will replicate their learning. So it's just parallel.
So from what I understood from you, it was more about like the platform and the community, like how exactly you learn, how exactly you interact with people. Did I understand it right? Or there were courses like the basics of data science, I don't know, Pandas intro, NumPy intro, things like that?
There are now courses on that as well, because when we were growing, we started it in 2021 and it's been more than 3 years. So we have started these basic courses, but initially it was not like that. It was like developing computer vision solution for vision impaired people in Germany. So that was a project. People did that, and then we developed a course on that, like how they can detect transportation if they are visually impaired. And then there were like the courses on natural language processing, how to prepare students for interviews and assessing their abilities where they can do better. So courses like that are there. Then there were like agricultural reform through AI. So it was not like just the basic introduction to computer science, but eventually then organizations started reaching out them, like Bhutan government. We are delivering courses through Bhutan government. And they started asking us like developing a course, a structure course. Then we have to, you know, start with, we have our foundational data science course and where we teach like introduction to these all skill sets like Pandas, Python, and then bringing them independently to AI project.
So when you said the courses usually started after the projects, was it something you learned from the project and then you try to teach? So it's like, okay, now I learned, I seem to understand this, but how can I understand it even better? Yes, you can do this by teaching. So how about you just teach what you just learned? Was it the idea?
Yeah, exactly. You are right. It's just like that.
Mm-hmm. No, that's awesome. That's like the best way to learn something, is that actually, because like at the beginning you think, okay, I think I get it. But then you start, when somebody asks you to explain, you start seeing the gaps in your understanding. Right. And then when you go back and try to fill these gaps to understand them. And the best way of doing this is actually coming up with a like structured content, like a course. And then like you will quickly see all the gaps. And that was the idea, right?
Yes, exactly. That was the idea.
How do you decide what kind of content to teach, or what to talk, what kind of courses to create?
Basically, I've been working and still working as a facilitator. I also teach a few courses. And if I decide how should I teach the course, so basically, I have a degree in computer science and I want to learn something new. So instead of going taking paid courses, I started learning and then make notes and then I deliver the course. So otherwise, the content is just with me. I'm not doing anything with the content. So I prepare course on that and deliver it. And when I'm delivering, I'm learning, okay, I have to solve it because I have to teach it. That's how I learn. But for the people, how as a platform we are using is that people, we have a web page for registration. So collaborator from the project apply for instructor, and then we review their content and their course outline. And then after having a few session on how we can change it, how it could be like more realistic, so then we create a page and start normal course. That's how it, like, it depends upon the person who want to deliver a course.
Mm-hmm. And the courses are free, right? Aren't they?
Yeah, free for both, actually, for instructor and student as well. So you're not getting anything if you are teaching.
Mm-hmm. And this is how it works too at Datadogs Club. So the courses are free for everyone, also including the instructors. But there's also beauty in that, like when the course is free, like the reach is wider. So you can reach places and people you wouldn't be able to reach with a paid course. And this is amazing, right?
True that. And that's like, I always talk to my CEO, like we should keep it, sell them. And he always says education is something, and we should not charge to the student. Like, we are charging to the organizations because they are already self-sustained. But student, we don't charge. It's free of cost for them to learn.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned organization. This is, so you talked earlier about that an organization approaches you and says, look, you have this foundational data science course and we want you to teach this course at our company. Can you come and do that? And you said, yes, but like, it will not be free, right?
Yeah, that's how we work.
Uh-huh. That's the business model. And like, do I have to be in the Amdena community to join the course? Like, do I have to do a project first, for example?
For the organization who wants just courses, it is just like, mm-hmm. we develop courses for them from Amdena platform. Mm-hmm. And we can say organizational stuff is taken care by Amdena. And from Amdena Academy, our responsibility is developing curriculum and content and stuff like that. So they don't need to necessarily to do the project. With company, it goes other ways around. So do the course and then the graduate have to do those projects. So then it's like that. We do course first with organization. Mm-hmm. And then we offer, like, sometime we open local chapter in that country. And whoever is graduated, we ask them, let's do this project. And then, like, it's not a bottom-up approach.
Mm-hmm. This is interesting. My original question was a little bit different. But what you said is, so let's say there is a country, let's say Kenya, right? And there is an organization that want to have courses there. They don't have a project yet. You first do a course with them. You upskill the people in this organization. And then once they understand the, let's say, the basics of data science, then it's easier for you to say, looks like you have some problems that we can help you address. Let's make a project, right? And then the students who graduated from that course can already do the project. Yeah,
that's how it works. Sometimes they give us the problem. Sometimes we also define, this is the problem in this region. Let's solve this. And we have already capacity, and the people who have graduated can join, and anyone else from outside is also welcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my original question was actually for the students. So let's say if I'm a student, I have not heard about Omdena yet. I have not done any project with Omdena yet. But I come across a course that is interesting for me, let's say this foundational data science. And I think I want to take this course. Can I do this, or I need to first do a project with Omdena or somehow be associated with the community, or I don't know, have a friend invite me or something like that?
Yeah, I got your question now. Yes. Basically, to join a course, you don't need to be part of Omdena, but to deliver a course, you need to be part of Omdena community. So anyone can join Omdena course, but once you graduated, you become part of Omdena community, and then you can join any project of your choice.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, how does it usually happen? Do people just come to you and say, hey, I want to be an instructor, or you have to proactively look for instructors for certain topics, or maybe it's a mixture?
So it's a mixture. The link is open every single time. Anyone can apply for instructor at any time. Sometimes there is a demand of new topic and people are asking, and there is interesting project maybe going on. So then we also reach out, like, this project is very interesting. And then I ask project team who is active and who would be willing to deliver the course. Why not to make a course on this X challenger project? So it also works in two ways.
We in Data Talks Club, we also have free courses. I mentioned that. And one of the courses just ended today. For this course, it was a data engineering course. And we have 25,000 registrations, signups, and 350 roughly people graduated, which means that the completion rate is slightly above 1%. It's 1.4%. People who, like, between who applied, who signed up, and actually ended up with certificate. The course is tough, yes. So I understand that there's some sort of natural selection. But also, when a course is free, it doesn't cost you anything to just sign up and not show up at the end. Do you see something similar with the completion rates of your courses?
Yeah, true that. We are trying to engage more people and trying some engagement activities as well. So same with us. So our courses are not recorded. Those are live courses. And we also have 400-500 registration, but eventually we only invite 100 people because we have Zoom capacity. And also, so financially, we have capacity of delivering free course to 100 students. And graduation rate is 33%. And graduation mean, like, it used to be most of the time 50 students or 60 students from 100 are always active. They are joining courses and stuff like that, but they are not able to do the project. Competency or difficulty level is maybe a little high, or they are not submitting assignments. So for graduation criteria, we have, like, they have to submit final project and assessments. If they don't do that, they will not get certificate. Like, they are not getting certificate of participation. So there are people who are attending throughout, but are not doing projects. So it is like 30% on average, we can say our graduation rate is 30%.
Mm-hmm. This is quite cool. So what you do is also, so in our case, this is just natural selection. So people not motivated or who don't have time or who have difficulties, they naturally drop out. In your case, you do some pre-screening, right? So you have 500 applications, but only 100 can join the course, right? What kind of criteria do you use, if it's not a secret, to understand who will join?
Basically, we have criteria. For the course, there are prerequisite and there is motivation. And then we always have one question, how many hours you can spend 1 week or you have to continue the course. So this really helps us a lot, like how to do that. And after completion, they get a free subscription to other learning platform as well. I think you don't mind, like DataCamp or other, we have collaboration. So we give voucher, free voucher to them as well. So this also motivates them. So they write in that motivation also. If like someone, my friend is graduated, so I will refer, yeah, I got this from after completing this course. And then they put a little bit effort. For selection, yeah, we check motivation, eligible, like prerequisite if they know, and time they can spend.
Yeah, makes sense. It was already almost half an hour. We were talking about teaching and courses. And I was thinking like, wait, the topic is actually community building, right? Why do we talk about teaching and we spend so much time? But this is quite related, right? Because when you teach, when you do projects, when you do all these kind of things, you form a community. And then people who took part in projects, who maybe learned from other courses from you, they start feeling motivated and empowered to also at some point teach. And the process of like when you join, you don't know if you can teach something. And then to the point when you learned enough from the projects and you feel like, okay, now I want to give back. Like this is quite a process to go there, right? And the community can make this happen. And yeah, so I'm curious, like, how do you see the connection between teaching and creating and maintaining a community?
So creating Omdina community, there is like, I don't have much role over there, frankly speaking, because there are other people who work really, really on. We have community manager and there are other perspectives as well. So I am doing a very small perspective that is teaching.
Not small.
Very small.
Maybe for Omdina, yes.
As a person, I have been involved in various community because I have experienced this help you really well. I am learning. I have to learn. I have to get a job. And I am frustrated in my room with a lot of content. I cannot do anything. And when I go and meet the people, even attending a workshop, so I'm able to see, yeah, there are people, and then you share your frustration as well. Like it is not only learning, it is the other perspective of learning as well. So I have been part of the community, like Women Who Code. Unfortunately, it has just dissolved, but it was also really, really a big learning community. And then I'm still part of NeuroMatch Academy. That is also really amazing community to teach AI and data science courses, and you meet the people around the world, and then you know you feel like how is it for everyone, instead of you are sitting here and then you are learning and you have ultimately stress in your mind, like you have to complete that and there is no motivation. But when you meet the people and do the things, maybe most of the time they are just giving you overall view, you have to do practical by yourself in your free time, but at least you got an overview and you meet the people. So for me, it is really important perspective for the people who are just like new in their career or just graduating, because that is the point. They need communication skill. They need to know outside, like from their own thinking shell. That's how I take it as how it could be beneficial.
Mm-hmm. And as I understood, you took some leading roles within this community, like Women Who Code, NeuroMagic, also at Omdina. And I'm wondering, like, what motivated you? Because this is not a paid job, right? So you just thought, okay, I want to do this. And you felt empowered to do that. And you did it, right? So what motivated you?
So for Ondina, I joined it, like, I got, they were building something. So I got some posts from Facebook. And then I connected them and they launched the project. I joined that. And then I meet many people in the community. So one of my, she's a really good friend, Anju, she was also lead. So she invited me to deliver a workshop in Women Who Code. I delivered the workshop and then I met few. Then I guess they were a conference and I had few voluntarily role on maybe evaluation of something. And they offered me, we have opening for leadership team and you need 10 hours per month to organize such events if it's okay for you. And then I took that. So it was like not I wanted to join this. It was like I used to meet people and they refer me and then I take, like, why not? So I wanted to connect it with the people. So that was, you know, the best way to be in touch with them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the motivation was kind of gradual. So at the beginning, you were a part of the community, you met people, you network, and then as you built your network, more and more opportunities appeared. And in these communities, they had some sort of, I guess, frameworks maybe for people who are motivated, who want to do something, to tell them, okay, look, we need help with that. Can you give us at least 10 hours of your time per month to do this? And you thought, okay, yes, I can do that. And then this way you continued networking and maybe met more people, right?
To that. Yeah, it's just like that.
Mm-hmm. Like, one of the reasons this question is interesting to me personally, as a community manager myself, like, I want people feel empowered to actually go ahead and do things, feel motivated to do things, like start a project, or start a local meetup group or something like that. I'm wondering how to create such an environment where people just feel like, okay, I can do this and go ahead and do that without thinking, yeah, maybe I shouldn't do. Because I know that there are communities, and I was a part of such community called Open Data Science, where people would just, like, it was a very decentralized community. And people would just like, okay, let's start a chapter in Berlin. Let's just meet regularly, right? And so people felt empowered to do that. And I'm wondering if you have an opinion about that, how to make a community such a friendly community, such an empowering community, motivating community, that people would just take leading roles.
Basically, with that, we also built an our community, a small community that is just a woman, AI Wonder Girl. And it was just like we belonging from different community girls just made a group. Initially, we were just 8-7 girls and now it's 100 plus. So it was just like that. We have Ondina community, most of us working there. We have Women Who Code. We are working there, Women AI, then such data science community. So we used to meet online because during COVID, it was possible only online. And then, you know, making small groups, let's do that and meet every week or every month to do something. And we won really the 3 good projects. That was we with AI Wonder Girl. We have won 3 projects as well. And it was just like, as you are mentioning, meeting and then motivating ourselves, let's do this, meet every week and discuss new topics. What is new in AI? What is new in maybe generative AI model or something like that? And we used to have subject expert as well, like a person from ethical background or social science background who give a clear enlightening, like it is not just you will implement AI and there are no ethical boundaries and stuff like that. So it helps you when you start take such initiative. And I always am afraid of taking, you know, big initiative. Like I will start a community today and then in a week time, I will have a big workshop of 500 attendees? No, it is not possible. So we always have to start gradually. Let's start meeting, discuss few topics, then having just exploring a model and then presenting this. So it is not like starting from a big aim and then you are not able to achieve. So my recommendation is let's start with very, very small thing that is doable.
Like a small WhatsApp group. Because you were talking about this AI Wonder Girls, and I was thinking, oh, such a great name. And then I remembered that a few months ago, we had an interview with Sarah, who I think she's a co-founder of that community, right?
She's a really good friend.
And in that interview, so the interview was called Make an Impact Through Volunteering in Open Source. I think it was a few months back, where she talked about the group and how you won a few hackathons, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, for those who are listening and have not listened to that episode, I think, yeah, it was maybe like 6-7 episodes ago, maybe a little bit more. Yeah, check it out. It was also an interesting chat.
Yeah, I will check it out. Thank you.
Okay. So for me personally, I am a big fan of communities, and I was a big fan of communities even before Data Talks Club started. And the reason for that is it helped me a lot with my career. So when I started learning Java, when I became a Java developer, the first thing I did was join a Java community. Or later, when I was into data science, what I did, I found a data science community and joined the data science community. And I did that for many other things, like for hobbies too. And I'm wondering, I'm really curious to know your opinion. Like, what do you think how important communities is for career?
Again, sometimes it depends upon individual as well. Like personally, I'm really big fan of the community for career building, as you are saying. I always prefer to join if I am learning something. So I have joined like Apple developer community, Google community. Although it's a big community, my role is nothing, but just having newsletter and getting update gives you an overall update. Instead, you go there, read the whole book, and then you got an idea. So for career building, I guess it is very, very important because, you know, you already have graduated from your college or university. So now you have to figure out what path I should choose. I am a computer science graduate and there are plenty of job opportunities in computer science domain. So now I need to find what is demand in society. What are the topics people talking about? What is the need of technology so that I would able to learn those skill set? So you learn this from community, I guess. You go to the community, you are part of that, and then it gives you an idea what is need, what skill set is needed, and then you develop those skill set. And for development, you start teaching, you start building your own community and make a group and learn together. This helps you a lot. I guess this is the fastest track of learning.
I'm wondering, like, again, you mentioned that build your own community. So usually this probably happens when there is a larger community and there are people in this community and they can just say, okay, like, look, we all live in Berlin. How about just meeting here for coffee like every 2-3 weeks, right? Something like that. How do you think communities should make it possible so these things appear? So these little sub-communities happen. So people feel empowered to just say, let's create a WhatsApp group where we can hang out and everyone from the bigger community, if you're interested in this specific topic, like this hackathon or this thing, just join.
That's very interesting. So for example, I as individual, probably nobody know me, but when I say I am from Data Talk Club, we are meeting in Frankfurt on this day. So the people that has authenticity, they will come and listen to me. So my thought on that is like as a bigger organization, we should put them in. Yeah, I totally understand. If someone is using your name, they should be in ethical values and they should present the content what aligns with your agenda. But this will really help a person as empowered, because individually I cannot go and talk at any place. But when I am representing X community or any name, so people recognize them, they are not able to reach out to the bigger community directly. So they prefer, yeah, this is Umdina's international community. Let's do with Frankfurt chapter, because they are doing the same thing and accessible. And as a local, I can physically attend the event. So WhatsApp group, I am not that much fan in that perspective, because it is, again, you're just a personal reach. You will not able to talk to many people. So maybe a public page or any other social network where people from same region can join this group, representing maybe like any bigger community.
Mm-hmm. So maybe now I should make a plug. So if anyone wants to start a local chapter of DataDocs Club, please don't feel that you have to ask me. Just do it. Right? And then we have like all the Slack channels. And if there is for your geographical area, if the Slack channel is missing, like everyone in our Slack can just go and create a channel. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people ask, can I create this channel or that channel? You can, yeah. You just go and create. So,
yeah, and use the name.
Use the name, yeah, of course.
Yeah, and then you have more reachability. Literally, it makes you more authenticated.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any other tips for good community management?
I'm not, again, a community manager person. I have a very small
role. Being a part
role.
Of many communities.
Yeah. For me, the most thing is engagement and giving the value. Like, for example, if I will always see if I am joining a community and spending my time, what I will get after spending maybe 1 hour or 2 hours in a week. So takeaway would be like giving a clear path. What are the values of attending and being part of community? And people stay connected when they have always, like, we are human. We always see the benefit, not, you know, sitting and listening anyone for 1 hour. What will I get after attending that? So if we define maybe some smaller takeaway, like not maybe 3 months goal, maybe just after attending one session, what will be my takeaway or what we can deliver a person who is joining any of our activity, maybe a talk, podcast or course or workshop. So
that's great. Like I never thought about that. Like usually we just, hey, let's meet for a coffee without like specifying what actually people will get. And if now I think, like if I'm a person, I have, I don't know, maybe university or work, friends, and I'm also tired, I'm lying on a sofa right now, open my Slack and see, there is a community meetup today. I'll just watch Netflix. So how to compete with Netflix?
Yeah.
How do I show the value that people, okay, Netflix can wait because I can just go back from that and watch this. It's all recorded, right? But the meetup is not recorded. So I'll miss out. Like how to do that. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, so for me, if I will, I have to maybe invite someone where I am present. So I will always say, let's meet and discuss this topic. After that, maybe we find out. Like, as a person, and I think working with many individuals, we always think about the results. So if we always advertise this, let's meet and figure out this. Like, when you have the conclusion, you don't know the 100%, but we are trying. So we are meeting today and we are figuring out the data science job or maybe skill set required for job or maybe how to implement data science model through web services or Streamlit. So I know already how to build machine learning model, but I don't know how to showcase machine learning model to non-technical person. So this will also trigger me, okay, let's see how to deploy it in Streamlit and I'm free. So I will get this. So I think when we'll have a clear takeaway, this might trigger more people.
Yeah, that's very useful. Do you have any other tips?
Yeah, that's the foremost tip. And other thing is that, like, as a community, we are developing, we are offering so many things, and we just need to maybe a bit of categorize, like, this is for basic level, this is intermediate level skill set, this is advanced level, and what is application. So something like, as again, I go for always making the cluster based upon, so that it would be easier. Data science, machine learning, AI is quite a vast domain. So if we have, you know, the themes and what we can say, specific areas, then it is easy to reach out, and for the people as well, instead of I join and after half hour I see it is not relevant to me, I should able to know, okay, this is the activity and this could help me, because it is clearly, the message is clearly mentioned.
Yeah, thank you. So we have a few questions that I want to cover from the community. So the question is, do you feel that the market is saturated with data scientists and ML engineers?
I don't think so. Like, that is very funny thing. A few days back, husband of my friend, we are in same group. So he's German, they are living in Austria. So he shared a message. I'm from Pakistan. So he was sharing message. Germany is looking for more IT people, or there is lack in IT jobs. And I was discussing, there are many people I know, they are not getting jobs. So it is not, there is a shortage of market. Actually, there is a shortage of uniqueness. Like, for data science and machine learning, everyone know that. But when you apply, you always have a huge competition. So you need to have, show yourself really a unique, maybe application of that. And you need to think about it. Like, there are hundreds of machine learning engineers, how you distinguish yourself. So if you acquire that one skill set, I think you are increasing your value. Then there are 1,000 jobs and you are the only one who have that skill. So it will make you more unique. So I think there are many jobs still available. We need to figure out how to make it more applicable, not ChatGPT code or copying project.
Yeah, and interestingly that you mentioned that, like, there is, on one hand, there is lack of jobs, lack of people who want to, like, companies need IT people, right? So companies need data scientists. On the other hand, there are so many people who can't find a job. And this is just strange, right? So there is shortage, and there is also a lot of people who can't find a job. And just yesterday, we had a meetup in Berlin, and one of the people who joined said that he has problems finding a job. And he has an amazing CV. Like, he has a really good CV. He has experience, yet have some problems finding a job. And yeah, so for me, it's always, okay, like, where's this shortage? If there are people who are trying to find a job and cannot just find it immediately, right? This is strange.
I will just conclude. We are actually going for shortcut as well. I'm also, like, sometimes few of my friends have company. I help them in evaluating the resume or test. So when you pass those tests, those are plagiarized. Like, how can a company hire you when you are copying something from somewhere? So we know that, we know the code, but we don't feel like typing it and doing the project or test by ourselves. So I think the more we have access to the resources, the more we have become lazy.
Yeah, with ChatGPT, I'm so lazy now.
Yeah.
But this is such an awesome tool. I'm lazy by nature, and now I can use ChatGPT to be even lazier. Maybe it's not a good thing. I don't know.
You cannot earn by with the ChatGPT. It is just helping you out. And then ultimately you have to work out. Like, use it with smartly. Like, don't copy it. Just take it as facilitator.
Another question. We talked about the MDNA school. And you mentioned that it's possible to become an instructor. If somebody wants to become an instructor, how to find more information about this?
We have actually a web page on dinaacademy.com. They can apply over there and then we evaluate.
Yeah, if I Google Amdina Academy, then the first thing I find is amdina.com/amdina-academy. Apply as a student, apply as an instructor. Yeah. Okay. So for me, it was the first link. I am sure that probably for you, it will be also the first link in Google. And another question. What can you recommend to a freelancer to start teaching in AI? Is it possible to apply to Amdina?
So for Amdina, I will again say it is like we had initially the capacity building for the collaborator who have already done the project because our focus is teaching through that project. So if you have not gone through the project, we need to first train you how the project work and then, you know, hiring you. So I would recommend join Amdina projects. That is also free. Join any innovation challenge or challenges. Learn the process and then come for teaching. And again, most of the time, teaching is volunteer because we are delivering free courses. There are a few paid courses as well, but those are very less. Mostly it's a free course. But it really helped you have a good structure, then you can sell this course at other platforms like Coursera and Udemy. You can sell that course.
So there's another question is, if you know about any resources that help women to have access to education on AI, and if they want to learn more about how AI can help them.
I would again recommend there are like, for women or for anyone is to join AI communities. There are always courses. Then you can join. If you want to learn, there are basic machine learning courses at Coursera as well. And you get sometimes scholarship if you are eligible. And it is very easy to get 100% scholarship from Coursera. They can attend that as well. And frankly speaking, I'm a person who always learn through projects. So for example, whatever skill set you want to learn, find a GitHub project on that and just do it. So it is really great learning. Mm-hmm. And the other way is teaching. Just find out your friends and start teaching them. You will be proficient in that skill.
So this is more like a general neutral advice, right? It applies for any gender.
Yeah.
Learn through projects, and there are a lot of courses already, like on Coursera, on Amdina, and of course, Datadog's Club. We also have amazing courses, so you can just find them and check them out. Okay, I think that's all we have planned for today. So maybe before we finish, if you know any resources that you want to share, maybe resources on teaching, resources on community building, or resources or on anything else you find interesting.
As I have already shared and mentioned, I prefer to read newsletters. Like I am part of Stanford Law University Law Department newsletter. They have AI, Howard Law School. They have AI newsletter. So for me, those are very interesting because now at this stage, we have already AI skill set. Now we need to think how to ethically implement that. I will also prefer people, and I think it is good to learn what are the privacy and ethical concerns bringing AI in our day-to-day life. And if we don't address that, we might not able to, you know, bring it 100%. So that's how I like. Maybe I don't remember the link 100%. I will share later, and if you would able to share that.
We'll put this in description.
Yeah.
This is something I expect at least, to be honest, like Stanford Law School. That's interesting, like how AI is everywhere now. And also, why not? I'm really curious to see what kind of content they have there. Okay, thanks a lot, Irum, for joining us today, for sharing your knowledge, your experience with us. And thanks everyone too for joining us. And I guess that's all for today. And thanks.
Thank you for having me.